I would now like to call the board back in session. And ma'am, before you start, I want to apologize. I don't think anybody or anything that was said was meant to upset you. All I want to ask you to do is try to wrap it up and stay on point. That's all. I don't think Mr. Mills meant anything, or me or anybody else.
Yeah, well, I hope...
No, okay.
Right. I hope you can just appreciate this, okay? I went through probably 50 hours looking up, and you'll see from all the research
okay,
here,
that's fine.
Okay?
But
what can be in these operations and how they can, and all different kinds of reading so that I would be informed about this. What I'm saying is their application is deficient. While it says it can't cause, it most certainly can things in there. So I want you to be aware of it because it is a part of your ordinance.
Can I say what I did or whatever? No, or
I know you asked me, Mr. Chairman, about your retired profession.
Yeah.
So if you have questions specific about
I'll leave it alone then.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going to wrap
it up. Yes.
Try to wrap it up.
Okay. One thing about the spray field permit. There's a letter here enclosed to DENREC from November, and we talked about it a little bit tonight, talking about the spray fields. They had to submit representative samples with the nitrogen balance sheets for what would go on the spray fields and what was allowable under the permit. The samples, the wastewater from the representative samples is not meeting the existing spray field permit they wish to use. So this document says that they're weighing whether to add equipment or use a package treatment plant. So again, my point goes to, we don't even know how they're going to meet the permit levels that are in here, and they don't right now either. The community's future is in your hands. The site is contaminated. It's a brownfield. The spray fields are an easy pathway to contaminating the community's wells. Truck traffic and emissions are a disaster now. In the summertime, even more so. If you have to get an emergency vehicle, God bless you if it's on a weekend in the summer. There's two schools right now up the street that rely also on well water that is from the wells there. The character of the community has changed a lot in the last 20 years with the building of waterfront homes, developments galore. There are thousands of people that now live in this radius. This is not like it was when Vlasic started their operation years ago. Character of the neighborhood also is one of the things that is a requirement of the approval of the ordinance. The community is begging you, please deny this permit to protect the community, the school children, and the water. The zoning code requires it and gives you the authority to protect these people, please.
Okay.
Forgot to ask. It also required public health, I think, to be a request. They did the request of, I think, the Inland Bays, but I think the ordinance also required them to check on that. I don't know if it was. It wasn't in the application material. All right. Thank you. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So much paper.
I know. That's okay.
Right, we get the
I apologize.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. I'm bringing up the rear, I guess.
Yes,
bring
sir.
It at home. Okay. I'm Tom Brett, and I'm a resident of Millsboro. I'm going to be brief, and there's just a lot of what I had planned to say has been said, but I want to just focus on four quick points. The first one being is that we were asked by Alan Harim's representative that you were asked, or it was suggested that you rely upon the experts. Including the environmental impact of this proposal, and I think that it should be fairly common knowledge to any aware individual in Sussex County that we cannot rely upon the experts. The experts are failing us, more specifically DENREC. We are looking towards you to fill that void. We're looking for some leaders to protect us.
And I think he referenced the Supreme Court in Delaware that
stated that we rely on them. So it's not Alan Parham asking us to do that. It's the Delaware Supreme Court.
And we're asking you to please look after us. Also, this facility can't be looked on its own. It's part of a larger system that's negatively affecting Sussex County. Permitting this facility to operate enhances the capability of related facilities to further pollute our environment. We're looking for representatives to take a stand for us, not the industry. And I do want to thank you, and I want to thank individuals here who took the time, their own time, unpaid, to spend so much time, Maria and others, who are looking after all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Now, is that everyone?
Okay. That was everybody on the list.
That, all right. Now we're good for rebuttal.
Yeah, I may have some questions for Mr. Gibbs.
Mr. Gibbs, I'll allow you a short rebuttal. Really, I think there's some questions.
Do you have questions?
I've got a couple, but I know there may be some points you wish to address, Mr. Gibbs.
Well, yeah, I did want to address a couple of points, and I know the hour's late, and I'll be brief. Number one, one gentleman made reference to the fact of the confusion over the applicant in this case. Mr. Sharp and I, as attorneys with knowledge of these applications, know that the statute or the code provides that an applicant can be either the owner of the property or any interested party can even be an agent. We actually briefed that on the Supreme Court case when Pinnacle was the owner of the property at that point in time, and Alan Harum Foods, LLC, was the contract owner, and the Supreme Court, again, confirmed that the applicant was an appropriate applicant for this land use matter, even though it wasn't the owner of the property because it had a legal interest. Here, I supplemented the record, and this gentleman didn't know about it. I actually had a discussion with him a few minutes ago. He didn't realize that there was a part of the record that was not part of the presentation notebook, but it is part of the record, and that's an affidavit of ownership and of authority, and that's where it was disclosed and put in the record that Harum Millsboro LLC, he's correct, it is in fact the owner of the property. Alan Harum Foods is another Harum entity. It's the very common practice of segregating ownership of a piece of land from the operator. And Alan Harum Foods is the operational entity that runs the food, chicken processing and other chicken-related operations, they call it, around in various locations. So there was no intent to misrepresent. There's no hidden games or anything else. It's right in the record. And the last item, I signed the application as attorney for, and that's perfectly legitimate under the rules. There's no attempt to hide ownership or anything. So, and it's right in the public records, and I gave a copy of the deed to along with the affidavit. So that's just one thing. But he made a good point. It was a point to raise when he was not aware of it. Secondly, the certificate of completion of remedy. The completion of the COCR is a part of this record. I put it in as an explanation as to the status of the property and what sort of work had been done on the property. I explained it in the earlier, but I just wanted to make reference that is part of the record. And there were some references in that report to some trace elements. There was a reference to arsenic. There was a reference to some other trace elements, but they were not. I mean, it's like, you know, in a farmland or a former farm property, if a steering wheel off a car is in the soil, you know, and they're drilled right there, they're going to find evidence of mercury or chrome. Chromium was one of the things. I mean, you'll find those trace elements here and there on 150 acres of property, but it doesn't mean that is a level of concern to the agencies. And I just request, the people in the audience as well as this board to read the certificate of completion of remedy. And I also wanted to note that this was not a short process with the completion of that led to the Brownfields program and that led to that that certificate. In that report that's a part of your record, they talk about, on the floor, it's a very good synopsis for anybody's reading of the Brownfield investigation that was initiated by Alan Harum to go ahead and obtain some funds from the government under a program where they're trying to redevelop projects. They talk about the contaminants detected and DNREC screening levels on all types of different, it's right in the record, okay? And then they note that there was a finding by the DNREC that the report was satisfactory. These same persons, the two that testified on behalf of groups, including the last person speaking, next to the last person speaking, Ms. Payan, she was involved in the very process that DENREC issued a proposed plan of remediation, and then the Department of Natural Resources advertised the proposed plan for public comment. This was thoroughly vetted by another appeal within the process the first time. And this was the very report that stated what the base level of the property was then, and there were no recommendations for any remediation at the time. The recommendations were for a stewardship program that was testified to, 13, 15 monitor wells on the whole property. They're all being read every quarter and reported to DENREC every quarter, and it's going along as planned by DENREC. The property isn't pristine, as is no property in Sussex County or most any places, but it was thoroughly investigated. The Brownfield report was recommended by DENREC, appealed to the appeals board, upheld on appeal. The entire case went to the Superior Court and the Delaware Supreme Court, and everything that was done was blessed. Now, here today, there was some comment that, you know, you guys can't just, you know, completely close your eyes to the public health, safety, and welfare. It is in that the statute that we're here under tonight, 115-111. But the relative roles of the administrative agencies and this land use board were not only stated in the Dragon Run case, but in this case. I mean, the Supreme Court relied on the prior Dragon Run case to state those respective. And you're not supposed to turn a blind eye to anything. But in areas of groundwater contamination and water flows and water quality and spray irrigation systems, these are all very technical areas, and we have a state agency, and maybe it is flawed, but we're not, me, you, none of us are in a better position to make these determinations. So I just submit that the process is there. It's designed to protect the health, safety, and welfare, and we have our DENREC to work with. I don't think there's any basis whatsoever to hold the record open tonight because one person says they'd like to have a little better opportunity. Who's not even in the 200-foot range. She's from Rehoboth. She wants to look up Dragon Run and shepherdize it or look at it some more. The case is there. It's cited as are other cases. This board has a tremendous record from the last time we went through this, and there's plenty to look at. As far as the neighborhood and community aspects, this is a very good example of an area that was zoned. This property, can you put the zoning map up? This property was zoned heavy industrial before there was a zone, and prior to the zoning coming into place. And the industry in this area, it was testified to some of the very people that stood up and testified. There are numerous, Delmarva Power. I don't want to reiterate them, they're in the record, but there are numerous heavy industrial and commercial areas in the vicinity. And yes, the residential has grown up around it. So there's got to be a balance struck. And I think we have a very, very good plan to use on a heavy industrial property, a portion of that property to do what this company does. It's in the chicken business, and it, but it's a literally, in my view, a non-hazardous use, and I think we've created a record sufficient to allow us to have this board approve our application.
Okay.
And I thank you very much.
You're certainly welcome, sir.
I've got a couple of questions, but I don't know if any of them.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Okay.
No, I don't have a question.
You know, I have three questions.
The size of the lagoon. Do you have a lagoon there?
There is a lagoon there, and I'll stop right before I say something that may not be correct. It's part of the existing system.
Okay. I got a couple of questions to ask him then.
Tim Van Brunt. Yes, there is a lagoon. We have about 2 million gallons storage capacity of finished water.
Okay, some of the questions they ask. Rainy days, you're putting your water in the lagoons and not running that day?
Correct.
And then, okay.
Correct. During spray aggregation, there are several stipulations. We can't spray if the groundwater is higher than 2 feet from the... We can't spray or irrigate unless the groundwater is less than... If it's higher than 2 feet from the surface, mm-hmm. we can't land apply. We can't land apply on consecutive days. But I will tell you that the site that we're talking about, this 29 acres, mm-hmm. historically was permitted for 281,000 gallons per day.
Per day.
Yeah, and we're looking at doing that less than that over a 5-day period. So if we can't spray during any seasonal climates, basically November through March, we are looking to, as part of our plan, to pump and haul that water to our other facility and discharge it using our existing wastewater treatment facilities.
Okay. Second question, pounds per week, what do you think you'd be pulling out of there?
Raw pounds coming in, rough numbers, I don't have all my figures right in front of me, rough numbers is probably about 500,000 pounds a day. So about 2 million pounds a week.
2 million pounds a week. So you think that increase or stay about the same?
I don't know what our overall plan is.
You got to find the market, right?
We have to find the market, number one, but right now that is a one-shift operation.
One shift. Okay. One more question. Irrigation systems. Have you got it set up yet? Are you putting a new up or is there one there?
The current one is in a drastic state of disrepair, and we will be either rebuilding that one or furnishing a new one.
Okay.
And it's a center pivot.
Center pivot.
Yes, okay. Sir.
Good enough. No other questions.
Okay. John, do you have any questions?
No.
Just a couple quick ones. If you had mentioned that you may have to be trucking to your existing wastewater facility, how frequently would you anticipate a truck having to leave there? I know that seemed to be a concern.
If my numbers are correct, we're going to be between 5 and 6 trucks per day of hauling, pumping and hauling just our process waste effluent. Okay.
And then any odors from spray irrigation? I think that was a concern someone had raised as well.
Me personally, I have zero experience with land application systems. So I can only go by the comments that I have from the people that we deal with, Artesian being one. In their locations where they're irrigating municipal waste, domestic sewage, which is a lot more foul smelling than what poultry waste is. They're land applying in right next to housing developments up in Middletown, and there's no discernible odor. So based upon the experts that I'm dealing with, I can't attest that there won't be any odors, but they're telling me there won't be any odors.
I think there was also concern about growth. It's right now the facility would be limited to 50,000 square feet is what you're proposing here today.
Correct.
So that's the only size that we're looking at for this proposed use.
That is correct. And I know of, I cannot attest to any growth plans that exceed that at this point. I have not been privy to those plans.
I have no further questions. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. Thank you. Do you have anything else, sir? Okay. That's...
I'm here
for
any more questions.
Oh, okay. All righty, gentlemen. And no other questions?
Can I clarify the record?
Chairman, it's your discretion. We don't normally allow for...
This will be very, very quick.
Okay.
I got a couple of things to say. One is... My name is Keith Steck. What I want to clarify is what this gentleman said. I agree that I was not privy to the information about the ownership. The ownership was what I was questioning, not the agency, the representation of that. The other question, other point I wanted to make is on that list of agencies, DENREC, Division of Water, et cetera, I didn't see anything on there to indicate there was any consultation with the Department of Public Health, either at the county level or the state level. And as far as, I'm not sure what the rush is to make a decision tonight when the woman asked for to keep the record open until tomorrow. I don't see the problem with that. What's the rush? Why can't you just give her the day? So if she's got some additional information, she seemed to indicate that there was something reasonable that she would like to submit. So thank you.
Okay. Wait. That's the end of it.
Now, board members, I know this one, as Mr. Gibbs alluded to at the beginning of the presentation, this is a unique provision of our code. We don't see this frequently. In fact, the last time we saw it was for the previous application for this site. And it does have that unique clause in there about consulting with agencies. Staff took it upon itself to reach out to the agencies that we had that we used in the last application and to reach out to them prior to this hearing with the idea that maybe we could get some, and we did get some. They're in the record for you. If the board either felt the inclination to reach out to see if there were other comments from those agencies or if just felt that maybe you needed more information, we could certainly reach out to them. One of the things that did come up at the last go-around on this at the court level was there an obligation for us to contact and get comments from any and all agencies? And the court found that there really isn't. There's not a requirement that we can compel some of those agencies. But in that case, we did have a fairly strong record as far as comments from agencies as well, which is a little different record than we have this time. So I just mentioned that for your consideration. If that's something that you wanted us to reach out and solicit more or follow up, some of those agencies may have people here or they may be listening to the record later. And if they had additional comments based on what was heard tonight, that, you may want to take that into consideration. So just letting you know that you have that option if you wish to hold the record open for that limited purpose, you could do that as well. Certainly you have your normal options as well as far as voting and tabling and so on and so forth.
But Jamie, if you left it open, it would be open for the public too?
Well, it would be up to you.
You're getting information to us.
Specifically for us. We would specify what it would be left open for.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it would be up to you all. I mean, we've left records open in the past, but I know that's pretty infrequent, and we do have a lot of information already in the record for you all to consider. So, yeah, it's up to you all.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, then, gentlemen, there's no other opposition, and if everybody is anything else to say or any more time, we're ready to vote. It's up to the members.
See more information.
Okay.
From the agencies.
From the agencies. From the agency. That's about it.
Well, I know we do have some in the record. I know there's one that I think came in today, right, Ms. Cornwell?
And that was at your desks.
So, and I also know that you guys have probably a lot in front of you that you may want to digest to.
Yeah.
If it's something you'd like us to reach out to and just say, hey, we've had the hearing, we've got the record, if you'd like to speak now for however old your piece, we could do a letter or reach out to those folks and see if they give us comments by a date certain. And then we could put this back on the agenda for maybe a meeting thereafter so we could... look at it then. That might be the better way of handling it.
Okay. How do you feel?
I agree with Brent.
You agree with Brent? Okay. And Mr. Miller?
So specifically for the lady who would like to comment on the...
The lay down behobeth, or is it for agencies?
I see no need for her comments on the Supreme Court.
So you just want agencies, yeah.
Just the agencies.
Well, I think in all fairness, that if we're allowing the agencies to, it certainly can't hurt to allow her, as she did, given her the same timeframe.
Fair enough.
Let her do it, too, then.
Fair enough.
So we'll leave it for that lady, as well as any the other agencies we'll reach out to.
It's going to be a written form, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, perhaps what you could do as part of your motion is say that Charlotte Reed, who is a member of opposition, she would have a week to submit written comments to the board secretary.
Specifically for application. Well, and specifically to the reference case, the case that she referenced.
Yeah, the case that she referenced.
Yeah, for that limited purpose.
Yeah.
Sure.
So you could make that as part of your motion if you wish.
I think that'd be good.
As well as in all state and local and federal agencies.
Yeah, and all agencies, state and federal.
But now, the question there would be, what time frame would you need for them to respond? We will probably have to get a letter out to them. I'd imagine we could get something out tomorrow, probably end of the day. So
April the 9th?
That's April 9th is our next meeting. Then we have a meeting on the 16th as well. And then we got back-to-back weeks, and we're not meeting again until May.
So if they got back to us by the 6th, then we would have it by the 9th.
That'd be our meeting. If we had it by the 9th, then we'd vote on the 16th. And give us a week to, go over it again. That time you get it and disseminate it to us.
Well, okay. we could say that they have until
the 9th.
The 9th, and get it to us by then, and then we'll get it to you that evening. And then
anything after the 9th wouldn't be, considered. Then that way we could bring it back up to, vote on it on the 16th.
Were there
I'm sorry,
I didn't mean to interrupt. Were there specific agencies that you are wanting us to focus on, or all of the agencies?
Because we did reach out to that group, and then we actually reached out again, and some of them still did not provide comment.
And you may recall we had that issue the first go-round, too.
Oh, yeah.
So do you want us to reach out to the ones that did not provide comment? Because we did reach out. We did receive comments from some agencies.
I would say the ones that have already responded.
The ones who have not responded, you want to see if they haven't responded.
Yeah.
You think so, Damien? That'd be how it means.
The ones that we haven't gotten responses from?
Yeah. I wouldn't do it.
You would reach out to them?
No, I would not.
Now, the ones that have responded, if they wanted to respond to tonight's hearing.
Okay.
To respond to tonight's hearing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you give 10 a chance, and only 8 kept come back to work with you, then the other 2, fine. But give these other 8 another opportunity to come back when anything new they may have in regards to tonight's hearing.
The other part of that is, like the fire marshal said he had no objection. Right. I don't know that but there might be another, I'm trying to think of one offhand that maybe we didn't get a name of, that didn't respond, that would perhaps have a different perspective or a different angle. That's where we're thinking.
Then why don't we just say all local, state?
Yeah, all local, state.
We'll just do the same list again, and we'll say, if you've already provided a comment and you feel the need to send something new, you can. If you haven't responded, please submit comments by then.
So it's that lady and then all the other ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
And perhaps we can do, if you'd like, I can read a motion, and that might suit what you all are looking for.
Well, if you will, then we can.
Okay. Motion to leave the record open to allow Charlotte Reed of Rehoboth, Delaware, 1 week to submit written comments regarding the Dragon Run Terrace case she referenced.
Or, in fairness, allow them all the same amount of time.
Her
and these agencies. You would give them to
all the same amount of time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I got you.
Yeah, give her the same amount of time.
So we would leave the record open to allow Charlotte Reed of Rehoboth Beach until April 9th to submit written comments regarding the Dragon Run Terrace case she referenced.
Yep.
And a motion to, as part of that motion, reach out to the agencies previously who had previously been submitted a memo and request any additional comments that they may have to be provided by close of business on April 9th.
Yep.
And the record would be left open for that limited express purposes.
Yes.
Okay, so do I have a motion, or do I make a motion to that?
And also to put it back on the agenda for the 16th.
For the 16th.
So moved.
Okay, do I have a second to that?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Workman that we leave case number 12,013 open for information to be supplied by the agency as well as Mrs. Reed. And that'll be turned in by, what, the 9th?
Close of business on April the 9th.
On April 9th. Okay, and all those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. So, by vote of 4-0, case number 12,113 will be left open until April the
9th for those specific
April
reasons.
April the 9th for those specific. Okay.
Yeah, I'll be here.
If there's no other business, gentlemen, ladies.
Motion to adjourn.
Have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Meeting is adjourned, subject to call.